Three, two, one, and we're in. Go to script.
Oh, my script. My script. My script.
Oh, no.
You should be up on the prompter.
Just teleprompter,
Call your producer in.
Okay. Hey, Hamish, how many substitutions did you have when your shopping came in?
One.
One? Seven I had yesterday.
Oh, no.
What the fuck? Seven?
Well, the thing is, I had... They replaced meat-free burgers with meat-free...
I think I'm going to say with burger, you know, meaty burgers, because I've seen them do that before.
And but they also replaced burger round burger buns with hot dog burger buns.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that before. That's useful, now, isn't it?
They didn't say, but, like, I did wonder whether or not...
What shop is that?
That was Asda.
Oh, right.
Seven replacements. That's somebody else's shopping at that point.
I mean, most of
They replaced one brand of butter with another brand of butter.
Oh, that's fine.
But it sounded Welsh to me, Trevelyan or something like that.
Oh, that is, or Cornish, maybe.
Oh, you might be right there, actually. It's probably Cornish. Mm. You can piss off. You just had a huge treat of your own. In fact, you finished it. You finished it. You're not getting anything else.
Do you know, right? I was reading...
One item unavailable.
Oh.
Which was super glue, which I need because I got one of those super glue pens, like proper branded one.
Hmm.
Loctite or whatever it is, and it's bloody clogged up and broke.
Mm.
No, it's meant to be like it's like a pen shaped thing. I would get it, but chances are I'll go look. It's like this, and it'll go.
Do you know? I was considering getting my 5-year-old niece a hot glue gun for her birthday, but I don't know what the appropriate age is to buy a hot glue gun.
Not five.
That's fine. The worst going to happen is she'll burn herself a little bit. Big deal.
But no, with supervision,
can be
right?
Scalding as hell, you know.
It's fine.
I mean, she's not an idiot 5-year old.
Totally fine.
But still.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Well, I don't know. Probably about 8 or maybe even older. But I mean, depends what I'm only going by children I have known, you know, like my younger brothers.
Yeah,
my younger
brother's
in his 40s now, and I wouldn't let him have a hot glue gun.
No, exactly. You know, like, I mean, we're talking like an intelligent niece.
Just tell her not to squirt it on a tongue and it's all good. Like, just have fun with it.
Mm. I mean, yeah, but like, I mean, I don't know, with supervision, because it's kind of fun, right? Like, I'd love to have had a...
Yeah. You're sticking all kinds of things together.
Yeah. Eyelids.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So anyway, what I actually want is the super glue with a brush, so I'm going to have to order it online, probably.
You can get super glue with a brush?
Mm.
How does that work? Because it dries so fast.
It has to be the slightly longer drying stuff.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was going to be the ones where you have the two parts.
Oh no, I've got a super glue where you've got the glue and then the hardener. But the hardener works with any cyanocyanide stuff. Makes any type of it go hard, like in like 3 seconds or something. So you've got to like be ready for it.
How well do you know glues? Because I sometimes struggle with, like...
I've got loads of glues. I mean, I've got... Technically, I've got probably at least two other super glues. Maybe three. But the point of that one is it's good for modelling. Mm. For putting just tiny spots.
You could just put the tiniest bit on there. Yeah, I always use too much and it always ends in tears.
So does that, man. Especially when I was a kid.
Mm. Do you wear gloves when you do super glue?
I never used to, but I'm going to start because I've got a big box of gloves.
Yeah,
black rubber ones.
Nylon or whatever. Don't, and I like regret it 99% of the time.
I think we've talked about this literally. I like the feeling of I like the feeling of gluing your fingers together with super glue and the hard like it feels.
Oh,
like.
Oh no, I hate that. When it feels like it. Fake finger.
Yeah.
Fake fingerprints.
You can tap the table. It's like. That's cool.
Play the guitar for long enough and you'll get that anyway.
Yeah, I got that from the mandolin a bit.
You played the mandolin long enough to get calluses.
I tried to learn to play the mandolin until I realized I don't want to learn to play the mandolin. I want to be able to play the mandolin. I'm not in it for the learning. I just want to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Bugger off.
Oh, I have a question about you, Drew, about on the issue of bachelor food. I don't think I've ever heard you talk about pot noodles.
Yeah, never been the biggest. I don't dislike them, but they're not something I think of or go to. I think because they leave you hungry.
Yeah,
I
like that's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah. They're just kind of like...
They're not taste... Like, crisps leave you hungry, but they're tasty as fuck.
So that's pot noodles, just crisps, but it's noodles instead of wet crisps instead of potatoes.
Yeah. Wet crisps, yeah.
And Ollie, knowing Danny, are we counting lasagna?
Lasagna's a noodle, obviously.
Well, lasagna's kind of a noodle, isn't it?
Don't start.
You're not American. Don't pander.
It's made of the same stuff. It's used in the same context.
Calling, because it literally, she pulled up a box and on it, it said lasagna noodles. And that is insanity. That is not the right word.
Right. Sorry.
You're not lying down.
No, I'm still waking up. I meant pasta. Lasagna's a pasta.
Yes, it is. A pasta. And noodles and pasta are fundamentally the same thing, but calling pasta noodles is insane.
Well, only if it's in noodle shape. Noodle is the shape, right?
But even a noodly pasta, like a spaghetti or a linguine,
it's still different.
Well, it also just calling spaghetti noodles is weird.
Right,
but Americans do it.
I might have to take him outside for a quick pee because he's
no worries.
But noodles, like, do you know pool noodles?
Yeah. Are we recording? Do we know whether we're recording or not?
I think we're recording. Because you went 3-2-1, didn't you?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
But I'm not actually in charge.
There's someone who's in charge?
I hope so.
But, like, you got pool noodles.
What's pool noodles?
They're toys that you play with in the pool that are, they're like big floppy things you can hit each other with.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure you've seen kids play. I'm sure there may be a British term for it. I've only heard Americans call them pool noodles.
I think I've seen them on TV or something, but never seen one in real life. Where would I see a swimming pool?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or a seaside or something.
Yeah. When's the last time I went to the sea? Last time I went to the seaside. Oh. I lived in Southport when I was at university, so I lived by the seaside for a bit. But Southport, the sea's so far out that you never actually see it.
Like they have like really long, big beaches.
Really long beach, yeah. Yeah. Like I think it's like a mile to the sea or something when the tide's out. It's ridiculous.
You're not getting anything else, okay. You just had something. Piss off.
Right, I wanna set my light, like my lighting is screwed again. Because it's like... It's...
Daytime.
Oh!
Daytime, isn't it? Sorry, I'm here. Is that any better? See, that's... It's nice out there. It's crisp. But it's just like... It's right on my face. I look super ghosty. And then if I do that one, but then I do that. Sorry, give me a second.
Peanut, get down there.
That'll be good enough.
Lie down. Lie down where I can see you.
What about if I did that one as well? That'll do. There we go. Soften up the light a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. I take it we're recording, aren't we, Hamish?
We have been for 9 minutes.
Cracking job. We thought so, but then when you left, for some reason, all doubt crept in.
No. I mean, why not? I mean, I haven't slept for about 2 days now, and I just had outside. And like...
That's all right. Once you watch The Human Centipede, you won't be sleeping for a while anyway.
I've seen the first one.
Oh, you have seen the first one?
I think I've seen the second one. I can't remember. I get confused.
So are we doing that as in the interim between? Yes.
It may destroy me mentally.
Oh, you mean between series 3 and 4?
Gonna do it. Yeah.
Can you do that after watching the end of series 3?
They invented the Mass Effect relays.
They did invent the Mass Effect relays, yeah.
This is Mass Effect, the TV program, which I love.
It is in a lot of ways, yeah. I mean, better than Mass Effect.
Let's be honest, this sort of the sci-fi tropes in it have been around for decades, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, good. Mass Effect is built on trope as well. It's the, yeah,
Jumping to the end again, then.
Well, we kind of have to on this one, don't we? I mean, we are at the end in some ways, right? But, like, it's, did I not guess it? I guessed it a couple of episodes ago, didn't I?
Yeah. I think you were on the trail of,
since the beginning of the gate part,
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot happens in between. Also, did you think of us when Drummer was in the lift shaft with the two grenades?
Oh, I thought she was going to die. What, like, as in, I thought she was going to die.
Yeah.
She survived again. I got to be honest, I didn't know what moment you thought I was going to be like, damn you. Because it's like, I thought she was going to die. She's like, leave me behind. I have to die now. Yeah. And she survived that. And also, she had a little drink with Ashford at the end.
No.
Yeah, I liked that. No, I like that a lot.
No. Watch that bit again.
Wait, what?
Ashford just turns his nose up at her.
But does he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought he was like forlorningly looking away, as if to say.
Yeah. Thought he was like, I guess you won.
Because I don't think, like, was he? I don't know. Was he really like? He wasn't like. I get what you mean by he just wanted to die in a blaze of glory, right? Like he's an old pirate. You know, and it got to the point where that sort of consumed his ambitions.
A bit, yeah.
But I don't know if he was necessarily like...
He was still pushing for it until he got knocked the shit... until the shit got kicked out of him by Peaches, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's his interaction with Peaches that... Because she says... Do you believe that if somebody does a good thing at the end of their life, it wipes out the bad, essentially? And he says something like, "I hope so." Like he's
I'd like to believe that's true.
So he's on that. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to make up for all the bad shit he's done. And I think like his dead son as well.
Daughter.
Like there's something there. Like
daughter, I think.
Like he's not. But if you were saying he's not a bad person.
What?
His daughter's alive.
He's got a live daughter?
No, I thought it was his daughter that had died.
I thought it was the son that died.
Oh, wait a minute. If they were using... oh, my God. Does he say only child or only son? For a minute there, I thought only son burnt alive. I thought he said only son, but I also thought he mentioned his daughter at points. But yeah, like he's, you know, he does say.
Personally witnessed his daughter's death.
Oh, okay.
And it was the same, that's when he got all scarred on his side. Mm. It was the same incident.
Do we know this from, how do we know this?
The scars he doesn't mention personally.
Mm.
But the daughter he does, yeah.
Yeah, he does mention the daughter, yeah.
Not a son, but a daughter. Peanut, come on.
Oh, bless him. But yeah,
is that what you were saying? Like he's not evil. Is that where you were going?
I don't think he's evil. No. I think he was a bit misguided. He shouldn't have shot Gregory on the bridge. That was really harsh,
wasn't it? Yeah.
I liked Gregory for some reason. He just seemed. Gregory. What's his name?
Oh no, I wasn't correcting you. I was saying it Russianly.
Oh, right, yeah, he seemed good. But the thing is, it's like, once Kamina was up and running, shouldn't he relinquish the captainship?
Yes.
I'm not quite sure.
But he makes the point of mentioning that he says she's not in charge anymore.
I think she has to take it back, and probably she's probably not quite fit for duty yet. I mean, she's still missing a spy.
Okay, if that is...
And she's still got the wrong trousers.
So I've got to be careful now because this is kind of like this is like a closing of one chapter and an opening of another, right? This feels very
the whole
like
book.
The end of a book.
It is the end of a book, yeah.
Yeah. Basically, almost any character other than anyone on the Rocinante, it can just like fade out of plot existence.
Mm-hmm.
We may not see Kamina again. We may not see Ashford again. And to be honest, the way that you're talking about Ashford, it seems that we don't see him again. He just seems to like...
Poker face.
Poker face?
I don't know. I'm so sorry about this, but excuse me again.
No worries.
with Ashford, I'm going to be honest, I cannot remember whether he's in it more or not after this point. We're getting to the seasons I've rewatched less.
Okay.
Obviously, you know, sometimes you start a rewatch and you don't end up watching it all the way through. So, yeah, the first three seasons I've seen a lot. And after that, less so. But I do very much like the... Oh, and also because I was waiting for it to come out. This is the point where I caught up with the...
Okay. I don't know if you want to tell me if the Behemoth is in later seasons.
Would you like me to answer that?
I don't know.
You know what? I can't entirely remember that either.
Oh, Christ. That gives
surprise for both of us.
Okay. So it's obviously not as big of a role then.
That might not be... Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, me not remembering something doesn't necessarily mean it's not as poignant.
Yeah.
Well,
okay. All right.
At the ending of the episode, though, where... Because it's essentially... Holden in a sort of narrated monologue kind of thing, right? Describing the events and the possible futures. That's the kind of thing you put on because you're not sure whether it's going to be cancelled or not. It's a weird ending. It's like trying to leave it open a little bit, but also wrap it up in a satisfying way. Someone asked Hamish whether they thought maybe it was going to be cancelled or something.
Well, maybe, I guess. Or it could just be like leaving it off. Oh, by the way, this is the...
Yeah, I don't read that the same. I just rewatched it as well. I don't read it the same as Hamish. I think that's just him going, well, she won kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, right, like, and also when he shot Gregory on the bridge... like, that's a belter thing to do, right? Like,
yeah,
like,
and also you know, pirate as well.
Yeah, a pirate, OPA. Because, like, Fred Johnson spaced a guy.
Mm.
And just because he was a bit more shouty doesn't necessarily make it... I mean, I don't know. For some reason, I'm thinking, yeah, but your own first mate, that's like...
I mean, in militaries, like, they don't, you know, they don't tolerate dissent. Like, not necessarily they're going to shoot them right there just for disagreeing, but, you know, it's not something that is welcome or whatever.
They don't take him to the brig, do they?
They don't take him. He just literally shoots him immediately. It's very rough.
He's like, I've known you for 40 years, but you know what? Bang. That's, yeah. I mean, I guess in Ashford's head, they were all going to die anyway or something.
I don't think he was even that justified. I think it's just like you say. I think that's how he's used to operating, and he acted on impulse rather than thinking, wait, I'm supposed to be more respectable than that now.
I don't know if it's necessarily, I mean, impulse, but, oh, maybe.
Oh,
also, I find it really jarring that when they blasted the laser at the ring, it went from, like, a right angle out of the Behemoth. It's like, I know that they're not just going to mount the gun on the front, right, or not even the gun, the thing, but it just was like, getting ready to do the blaster, and then you had the big thing pointing forward, and then you went ding. And it's...
Yes, yeah. I think I find that jarring the first time as well.
I mean, it makes sense.
Well, no, because if it's a communication laser and it was for communicating with back home, like really, it should be pointing backwards, if anything, not sideways.
It's on a little mount, so it doesn't.
Oh, is it? Can it swivel?
Hmm. Well, but again, it should be at the back of the ship, you would think.
Speaking of pirates, Hamish has got a bit of an eye patch going on at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, is this the reactive lenses or something?
Yeah.
He's on the couch now. He's had a poop.
Only took three attempts
to get him to actually do it. He's like, no, I think I'll annoy you in the middle of something else.
I used to live with someone that referred to poos as gronks.
No.
I'm going to drop a gronk.
No.
No, that's not like in that.
I mean, poo's fucking bad enough.
I know. Do you know what I mean, though, about that scene? No, I'm like,
no, I disagree. I disagree. I think, yeah, I think he's just going, like, I think he's just going, well, I guess you won.
Yeah. Mm. I think they're just going to have a drink and be like, because to me, it's like, it's the belter thing, right? Mm. Where it's just like, well, I did it, and, you know, whatever, you know, like, I don't think they get too egotistical about it. They're not, like, yeah, they're not big.
That's
like,
that's my, well, I mean, they can be very egotistical, but I know what you mean, yeah, in that situation, they're like, you got the better of me, well played.
Yeah, yeah, like, they're not like, I feel like Earth UN 10 people would have more of a stick up their ass or a chip on their shoulder.
Would hold a grudge.
Would have a bit of pride about it. Like, I don't, exactly. You know, I don't think Ashford is a particularly prideful man.
Not in that way, no, I don't think so.
No. But I don't know, I mean, because, yeah, Kamina comes in and she's like,
yeah, I'm running it now. Kamina comes in with her wrong trousers. He looks over just a little bit. He puts his head over a wee bit like that.
But this is over the James Holden monologue.
And then he turned his head away completely. But it does cut there, like, though, so you know, maybe I'm reading more into it.
To me, it's like, kind of, rather than, fuck you, Kamina.
I think it's more like he's listening to the James Holden monologue. It's like,
but hang on, I'm listening to James, shut up.
Is that what was happening, right?
I was talking about that monologue at the end and saying, like, it's a weird way to end it, and it's almost as if they thought it might be cancelled. Like, they're trying to wrap everything up. Like, leave something open, but also wrap up in a sort of, you know.
Also, it might be the case, yeah, like, they might have not had a confirmation for a next series, because they often do. But they don't this early on, when they're actually writing it and drafting it and whatever. And like, maybe with the Sci-Fi Channel, maybe they've got a history of cutting things off after 3 seasons.
But it wasn't but they weren't with it to start with. Hang on.
Not to start with, but at this point they were.
At this point, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah,
more Sci-Fi on the third series.
Exactly. So they might have thought, well, this might be all we get out of Sci-Fi.
You said, but if you thought Sci-Fi was going to give them 3 series, oh right, it is. You're right. This was the cancelled point.
Oh,
it did actually get cancelled. Right. Okay. That makes sense.
So yeah, there is.
Leaving it a little bit open in the hope that maybe get picked up by somebody else. But
yeah, there's an 18-month gap.
Right.
Between the end of series 3 and the start of series 4.
Because it is a very.
That's not that long.
For this show, it's a very sort of explicit, spell things out kind of monologue.
Yeah,
which
is
unusual, stands out a bit.
It is a bit weird.
I didn't mind it. It's a nice cap. I like an epilogue, and it felt like an epilogue.
Yeah, it felt like an epilogue. It was good. And also, it kind of felt like, oh, Miller should be back for the next season.
yeah.
Which is like, if it's getting cancelled and the actor can't come back, it's going to be like, well, whoops.
Whoops. But yeah, so, what does Miller say? I need a ride or something?
It's like, oh, actually, Miller changed his mind. So Miller as the investigator in the station...
Oh, I forgot this actor was coming into it. Sorry, carry on.
Miller, i.e. the station, is like talking to Holden now, and it's like, right, so I'm going to work out what happened to the people that created me or something.
He wants to know. And which fits, because Proto, you know. He wants to know what wiped them out, if they are wiped out.
Yeah, and that's kind of interesting. I actually I think I like this a little bit more than how Mass Effect did it. Mass Effect did it in a more MacGuffin-y kind of way.
Well, it's the Reapers, which is very much a sci-fi trope of every now and then, like every few million years or whatever, a race comes in and just wipes out all other life in the universe and lets it start over again when it becomes potential a threat, right? That's, yeah.
Yeah, which although... Is,
that's been done to death, I think.
It's been done to death, but as the story goes with the Mass Effect series, is that as they were working on the final game, the plot ending leaked. Mm. So they rewrote the third game.
Don't let it be leaked. You're better to have a leaked good ending than a not leaked shitty ending.
Yeah. And also all of the, because there's stuff that I've watched a lot of video essays on this. There's a lot of stuff in the first two games that veer towards this. Mm. It's something to do with like dark matter or something. They're like in a dark matter black hole or some sort of thing like that. And then yeah, the ending got leaked, so they just folded it in with a very.
For me, Mass Effect suffers from the thing that a lot of fantasy suffers from, where it tries to, it starts out with a nice small story, and then it has to go towards like a world-ending, catastrophic. Like rather than keeping like, just, I just want small stories about a bunch of crewmates having an adventure. Like it doesn't have to be the fucking fate of the universe in the balance.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Deus Ex, the most guilty for this, you might say. Every single time. What Deus Ex game doesn't result in the coming to the brink of... Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that one.
Yeah, so sci-fi was sold three seasons in the first place.
Oh,
so what was planned to be three seasons, which is an interesting thing to realise, given that they split the thing... in an odd way to fit an extra book in, really. But then they had 10 episodes, 13 episodes, 13 episodes, so...
Well, did the producers rush the final part of this season to get the entire book in because they knew it was ending? And they didn't want to end on the midpoint of a book.
Fair enough, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but also, I think it worked out because it's a little bit like you were saying with Hamish playing through Deus Ex Revision, and like when you get to the end of those linear stories, you kind of just want to wrap it up as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And it's like maybe like the third, or if you Shakespeare play fifth act, the final act, you want to be like just close it quickly. You know, it's like the interesting bits sort of happened, and it's like, and I feel like this is the case. It's like,
well, what it feels like, if I could go back to Deus Ex, it feels like they're building up all the options that you're going to get. All the factions have come to a head, as it were. And they're still keeping it going for a couple more chapters sort of thing. It's like, once we've made a decision, we've kind of made the decision.
Although I always felt with Deus Ex that like the final bit where you're storming Area 51, that like Tracer Tong's plan, he just pulls that out of his ass at the last minute, right? Like they could have set up some beats to that, you know. I think like and Morgan Everett could have laid that foundations a little better, but like he is the status quo ending, so maybe, you know. And he like Helios could also explain a little bit more about what the plans are for that. Why JC Denton over Bob Page or anything like that? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think as much as we love Deus Ex, and we all do love it, and it's mechanically amazing. It's still mechanically amazing. Still got some amazing level design. Still got some like the lore and the world building is still amazing. Its narrative is its weakest point, and it isn't. Like the narrative arc is fun, but I mean in the details and the stuff you're mentioning, I think
they get the story across, but not in a story-ish fashion almost.
I was going to say, I think sometimes the voice acting is the weakest part.
Oh, the beast of the voice acting is very much the weakest part.
I spill my drink.
A bomb.
But I mean, games of that time, I don't need good voice acting
No.
I'm just surprised they actually used like Asian actors for the Asian roles, because I could have sworn those.
Yeah, they don't sound very.
And I swear the direction must have been, can you be more racist? You make it a little bit more racist.
Yeah, yeah. Can you talk as if you can't say your R's or something?
You know how you get the the Rotten Tomatoes season score thing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you any details. I'm just going to tell you the score they give each series. And Rotten Tomatoes, first series has 78%. Second series, 95%.
Mm-hmm.
Third, fourth, and fifth series all have 100% rating.
And is that a large number of votes?
Is that critic or audience? That's critic.
It's
right?
Rotten Tomatoes. It's
well, it splits the two.
Well, the number of reviews they're taking it balanced out of is 46, 21, 26, 34, and 32. And the last series drops from 196% with 23 reviews.
That's wrong. But that I want to actually, I'm curious about what the audience scores are.
I mean, there's more detail in that, but I don't want. Let's not get into this because this is not good for Chris.
Yeah. It's like, are they going to rate the aliens? Realistic aliens? Interesting aliens? I do wonder, are we going to start seeing some aliens? Because here's the thing, right? You got 1,300.
Well, you want a xenomorph to get loose on the Rocinante.
Well, something like that.
I think Amos would just punch it.
Because the thing is, it's like, okay, you've got 13 habitable, what was it, solar systems or...
1,300.
Inhabitable, what did you say? Like, just places in the universe.
Systems. Systems.
So...
Okay, but very briefly, the audience scores are mid-high 90s all the way through, apart from the last two where it dropped off.
Ooh.
Which is more accurate, I think, personally.
Okay. Because it's like, well, if there aren't aliens there, then what's the point in having 1,300 habitable
solar to expand into?
The expanse.
I mean, habitable, it doesn't mean, but it kind of implies like, unless you want to do a colonization again, you know?
But then Holden talks about another blood-soaked gold rush.
I think he's terming it like, you know, like,
between the people.
Between
the people, but like what happened on the battle, humans, for example.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what he's talking about in my mind, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the vibe I was getting. But then it's like, well, what are they going to discover that's going to be the next gold rush?
Just land, basically. I mean, resources.
But there's plenty of land in not the solar system.
Not habitable land.
Yeah, not... They've been trying to terraform Mars for like 100 years.
Yeah, Earth is the only place people can live without any special extra.
Okay, so that's what you mean by habitable. Mm-hmm. You can just get out.
Yeah, habitable means literally means habitable. Yeah, class M. Let's go Star Trek on them. Yeah, class M planets. Right, yeah.
Okay, interesting. I find it hard to believe that those would even exist because we've evolved. For Earth, right? Like Earth was here first, we evolved for Earth. So the chances of another like exact I'm not saying that there couldn't be habitable life on other planets. It's just that we wouldn't be able to get out of a spaceship and go
well, not probably necessarily exactly on it. No, but they're talking about systems that have at least one, I think. And I mean, we've discovered some. What I don't understand why you're having such a hard time with us here, Chris. You're confusing me.
And like is big.
They might be a bit off on, like, you know, it might have like slightly lower gravity or slightly higher oxygen content.
They're not saying they found 1,300 Earths.
No seasons.
But we've found Earth-like planets in various places.
Well, we think it's kind of a bit hard to believe, but yeah.
Yeah.
Within reason, though.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be the first person to step out and take a big lungful, you know.
Have you seen Don't Look Up?
No, I haven't, you know.
You should watch Don't Look Up, the ending. That's not a spoiler.
I wonder who the first person to breathe like another planet's atmosphere.
Yeah.
I don't know. Personally, I don't think it'll ever happen.
Well, not in our lifetime. Yeah.
Oh, certainly not in our lifetime. Unless a protomolecule happens. You know, it happens very slowly and then all at once, right?
Yeah. A bit like the Big Bang.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
That was nonsense.
This is not a science podcast, apparently.
Oh, it is.
Oh, okay.
Authoritative.
Authoritative science. Peer reviewed, there's three of us.
Yep.
I guess, do you know what?
There's the implication there that you're my peers. goodness me.
I was going to say, I'm peerless, but yeah, not in a good way.
This is why they call it peer review tube, right? This is three academics just, you know.
I am a fellow of St. Andrews University. So.
Yeah. And well, also,
might still be in the post.
Three white men, that's our qualification, you know, of a certain age. So, you know.
Yeah, we're on a winner there.
Yeah, somewhat bearded.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, just like Oxbridge.
So the expanse. I've finished my distractions.
Cool. Harare Diogo.
Yes.
Lieutenant Diogo Harare.
Lieutenant. He did get the power armor, didn't he? I'm surprised he managed to get it working.
You literally called that, didn't you? You said he's going to nick it and have a go.
Well, he's just going to play with it, yeah.
We did.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
I think you did.
Yeah, you did. You said he's going to have a play with it.
Oh.
But of course, you know, biometrics and all that. Because you mentioned all this as well, as would it work?
Yeah, we did speculate about that.
No, Chris did. Chris was the whole, he was in the whole
thing. Yeah.
Funnily enough, I thought one of you said that, or were joking about it.
No, we were just going along with you.
You mentioned it, we were just japing along with you for the funds.
Yeah.
Trying not to say anything.
Yeah, trying not to confirm or deny. But he couldn't use it fully. I mean, it basically gave him the bulletproof suit and the rocket propelled boots and arms, but that's all he could really use.
I think he was just playing around, if I'm honest.
I tell you what, though, he's gonna have a bit of a headache after an entire lift falls on him, isn't he? it was very sort of Tex Avery cartoony sort of thing.
Very Looney Tunes, and then they
look down the shaft and it's like,
that's all, folks.
So, given that Bobby survived lots of stuff, I'm sure Diogo's all right.
He was in a
special suit. Okay, so I feel that unless Clarissa comes back in a future season, I think there was too much time wasted on her.
No, stop not loving Clarissa.
She redeems herself.
She redeems kind of a little bit.
Okay, so I thought the bit where she flipped the power grid was kind of cute.
That was nice because they set it up a long time ago, didn't they? Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so they didn't just shoehorn it in. She had done the job of learning about engineering.
It's not that it's not that I disliked her as a character. It's just that, like, they just, like, no need for the flashback. You can get the idea.
Oh, God, I'm still going on about this.
Because
I thought it set it up really well.
I enjoyed that. I like that flashback.
Yeah, I don't often like flashbacks myself, but there's sometimes where it works, and that one worked for me. I mean, it really did. Maybe you've not got enough daddy or mummy issues, Chris. Maybe that's the problem. You just don't know.
I will say, first time through, this implies things, and so it's a bit spoilery. But first time through, at this point, I still hate her. I still hated her. I was like, that's not enough to fucking redeem yourself after what you've done. Like, it's a start, but yeah.
And also, I mean, I don't, like, it's okay to avenge your father's death. I get that. That's a fine...
He's not dead.
Is it?
Oh, no, incarceration, sorry.
Hang on, is it okay to avenge your father's death?
I mean, it's understandable.
Oh, okay, sorry, right.
Depends who did it, and you know.
Yeah.
I would avenge my mother's death if depending on who killed her.
Yeah, you know,
well, she deserved it.
Well,
you know, then I'll take that's what I'm saying. I take that into consideration at the time.
Or if she's fighting for the Confederacy.
Yeah, as I say, I'll take it into consideration at the time.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a bit late to be starting switching sides now, isn't it? But I, so I, yeah, but like, I mean, the character was fine. I didn't dislike her, but
she's not the character I love yet. So don't worry about that too much. Yeah.
She's not interesting or anything.
I think she's interesting. Jesus, what is it with you?
And I think
you're just dismissing the entire flashback thing and saying, right, there's no character here. We could have done it in two lines. Everything else about her is not in my head, and I'm not going to let it in my head because it came up in a flashback.
I will say it was a big step for her, going from being blinded by everything and wanting to, you know, a daddy's approval to, actually Holden's not a bad dude and their point is right and we should try peace. That's a big step for her. It's not, it doesn't make up for all she's done, but it's a big step.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I.
You just don't care about her, do you?
I love her.
But my love for her comes later, so it's
Okay, all right, that's understandable. I mean, it's just that, like, if you got rid of the flashback, I still would have understood and saw eye to eye with the motivation.
Okay.
Yeah, no, for sure, but I do get what you're saying, and I understand it, and I see the point, and I don't entirely disagree with you in a vacuum, but I personally, subjectively, I enjoyed that flashback, and it did.
Yes.
It gave me more emotional.
Yeah, like, exactly. Emotional. Yeah. I think if they had more time, if they knew they were going into another series, right? If they were going into a fourth series and they knew it, I think they would have set all this up more slowly like they'd with Peter before. But they were trying to get through an entire book in 7 episodes when they'd had 10 to 13 to play with for each series, you know?
Are we saying this having seen the whole thing, maybe? Is our...
I still think that her being... It shows an awful lot. It shows a lot. It's not... I don't think you could... I disagree, is what I'm saying.
I guess there are other ways you could have done it. Like, it could have been the court, it could have been in the court, and she'd be like sobbing.
Wouldn't that be a flashback?
Not if it was happening at the beginning of the season.
I agree. You could have written that without the flashback. I agree. Yeah. But I don't mind the flashback. I don't mind flashbacks.
Yeah, I think if they had more space, if they were doing it into the next series and this was all happening, everything that happened in, say, the last 4 episodes was maybe in the next series. They had maybe 2 extra episodes for character building. I think they could have had it in there.
Yeah, but then you'd be building a character that's kind of bland. Interesting a character.
Oh.
Yet. I guess.
Before we go any further, I'm not a huge fan of her as a character anyway, right? I was never a big fan of her as a character, but I think, having watched this again, that this is absolutely fine. It's given you, because she shows up as an engineer and also, like, you know, an independent out in the belt working type person. And then she's got this, you know, to start with, secret motive. You know, all those things are built quite well with the flashback to show you how she's changed completely from one... I mean, they could have done it in the episode before. They could have done it as, like, this was something in the past, like they did with the Epstein drive, or with, you know, the belt. Or,
I think the Epstein drive resolves itself within that same episode in a way that I can live with.
That wasn't self-contained. That was like a little short film, like the Belter slingshotter. I do think the Mao flashback is in a different kind of category.
Okay, anyway, well, there's no point in arguing about it because Chris is obviously right. I mean, wrong, wrong.
Did you not say, Chris, when you see that she's gonna, you know, switch to Holden's side, and she does the little clicky thing in her mouth. Like, did you feel anything then? Was that like, oh god, like, was that not cool for you? That was cool for me.
I thought it was a bit
all right.
I really like that. That made me cry.
Didn't dislike it.
It was the little superhero release type, but anyway, she smacks the shit out of Ashford, so, you know, that's quite
I like Ashford more than her.
That's the only time Ashford gets his comeuppance, really. You like Grigori as well though, didn't you?
I like Grigori as well.
And he basically murders him.
Yeah.
We talked about that while you were peanutting, just how brutal, how like brutal that was.
I did like Grigori, but he wasn't pretending to be a fleshed out character.
yeah.
He was just like, he knows his place.
Oh. There he is. Oh, little cutie.
That is what he does 10 minutes later to meet you go.
I mean, this is the internet, you know.
So if Clarissa could do that,
Chris would love her.
She
cries a lot in the, towards the end.
She cries a lot.
At the very end, when she's with Anna, and Anna just holds her hand, and tears just stream. Oh yeah, no, don't you feel for her in that moment? Like,
Chris is a monster.
I think part of it is that you see her introduced, and then she's doing this mad shit, like, ooh, a bomb, ooh, some kung fu, you know, like superhuman stuff, and you're thinking, oh, this is some serious shit, and it's like, oh no, she's just avenging her father, she got daddy issues.
That is a tired, yeah, but they had, like, you know, it's modus operandi for the Expanse. They can take like tired tropes and make them more interesting.
But they didn't.
Or not yet. In this case, for Chris's point.
Yeah. For Chris, yeah. It's difficult to remember how much, or difficult to discern for me how much of this is knowing what she became. I can't remember really what I thought of her at this point, first time through. Because it's later that I come to love her.
Mm.
And it's also certain interactions, really.
Yeah. Reporter lady also makes, she sort of. I am very curious as to why she actually goes along with this.
It's not because... It's because the nice lady gives her a good reason. And she does say to Amos, you should have led with that.
Yeah. Which is a nice line.
Sorry, but... I get slightly distracted whenever she's mentioned or around on screen. I do like her.
I think it's because it...
I'm surprised she doesn't wear makeup on her eye as well.
When presented,
given that she's a presenter person, and she's still got, you know, some camera equipment and things.
No, it's like when BBC reporters are reporting from, you know, like Afghanistan or something. They look as unmade up as possible to make it look like they're roughing it.
Maybe.
But she is roughing it, to be fair.
No, she is genuine.
Yeah, I mean,
and some war reporters are roughing it, but like it also has an aesthetic connected with it.
Because I mean, Bobby's makeup game is perfect every time.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Bobby is beautiful and perfect in every way. It's all natural.
Mm-hmm. No makeup on her. I think the reason she goes along with it is because it is clearly like the correct course of action. Yeah. I don't think there's any. Once it's explained to her outside of
Amos, he's like, you're coming with us to help us. Mm. You know.
And the blind guy died. We heard that.
Did we hear that laugh?
By a door.
Yeah. Got cut in half, yeah, and it's like, hey.
So hang on, so you got cut in half by a door. Is that was that during the slowdown or something?
Yeah,
one of the slowdowns, an emergency door. Yeah.
We should give that door a medal.
But she seemed to blame it on the Rocinante crew, which is a bit like,
I mean, yeah, because something could have happened to him on the Rocinante just as easy as it happened somewhere else. So, it's a bit, it's a wee bit. But she doesn't seem that attached to him, let's be honest. She's definitely a reporter in that sort of trope. Yeah, you know, that sort of trope of she'll do anything for a story type thing, you know.
Yeah, but they were clearly not like long, you know, they're not like. They're not close.
They never seemed particularly close, no.
Yeah. Well, like the other thing about that as well, as I say, that again, possibly because they've condensed one book into little more than half a series, is that also she has a bigger crew in the books. So there's a bit of amalgamation of character things going on.
Mm.
Anyway, that's probably not relevant.
No, that's interesting.
Anyway, he died, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
everybody's happy about that for some reason.
Wonder why they just decide to kill him rather than it's like, oh, he's just...
I think they probably realise how fucking annoying he is.
I think he does. I mean, it's a long time since I read that book. I've only just started reading Leviathan Awakes again, and I've kind of drifted off that because I've not been reading so much. Anyway, point is, yeah, I can't remember what happens in the book exactly to the crew, as in the TV, the reporting crew, because I think there's like three or four of them. Because there's at least a sound person and a camera person and the reporter, but there might be somebody else as well.
Realistically, like from a TV point of view, it's probably just because he served his purpose. His purpose was to be the betrayer.
Yeah, that's really. It. Doesn't really matter.
He's done that. He's not much use further.
And you know, a certain percentage, a third of people died, a third of people got injured,
and
a third are like trying to rescue everybody else. Everybody's left. So, statistically.
I have a question. Is like, I'm just looking over the final prologue now.
Mm-hmm.
Does Bobby join the Rocinante crew?
Well, put it this way. I mean, obviously that's the implication. But put it this way. She's betrayed the Martian military twice now. I think her chances of getting back in at this point are pretty fucking slim, especially since in this time it caused the death of at least one officer, probably two. It's hard to tell. I think the woman's dead as well. Yeah, but definitely the guy, the three of them, the guy that was there was dead. I mean, you knew that because you knew Mamos. You knew that as soon as you got a clear shot, that guy was dead.
I love
because he's like doing a bit of that, and then he goes. And he just rock solid, and he doesn't move. And you know that what he's waiting for is Alex to be enough out of the way that...
Yeah. See, if I was Alex at that point, I'd just go limp.
Well, that's just what I was thinking. Duck. Why doesn't Alex just duck? Yeah, just fall over, so get out of the way for Amos to take the shot.
Yeah.
But maybe he's trying not to get the guy killed. You know, well, he does say that's his reason for coming forward, is to try and not get them killed by Amos. Because, you know... Yeah, the chances against Amos are pretty slim. Bobby's
I love the bit with Anna and Amos before the gunfight.
Yeah, happens. It's over. Yeah. It's another. I mean, you brought this up before, but it's more Amos learning and Amos seeing things from other points of view and.
Because the way they're talking, because she's getting, I can't remember what she says in the scene, but she's essentially human life is precious, blah blah blah. Because Amos says, I'm going to shoot anybody who comes through there, and she says, because it's what you've got to do, or whatever that little exchange they had earlier. Anyway, they have a little exchange, and it kind of looks like Amos might be going to argue back and going like, "Don't judge me, like I'm doing, my best here," kind of thing. And he grabs her, but instead he says, "I'm not going to let anyone hurt you."
Yeah, not going to let anyone hurt you.
Lovely.
Which is more that's more Amos. Well, he does that with other people as well. He's like, I'm going to look after you.
Well, it goes back to that. There are three kinds of people: those you blight and whatever, and those you protect. Amos, such a fucking great character. I love him.
Wes Chatham does such a great job.
Honestly,
once you've seen Wes Chatham being Wes Chatham for like 5 minutes, you're like even more impressed at how good he is at Amos.
So he's not.
It amazes me he can hold it together to do a whole scene, to be honest.
Oh, right.
How good he is at Amos.
He's not as butch in real life or something.
Oh, no. He was a soldier and stuff. He was in the military thing. It's not all the muscles and stuff come from being in the military and thing. But he is, he's quite a gentle. I mean, in a way, he's got some of Amos,
Oh, yeah. But he's very jokey and cheeky.
Yeah, he's a lot more animated. Emotes, So it's the way he holds the Amos stuff together, especially the sort of more blank bits, and he what he does, how he projects it all without really doing much.
It's an amazing feat of acting. Like he can communicate such a broad array of emotions with a blank look.
Yep.
Which is fucking amazing. Like
which when, is when really he good, yeah.
in that bit, he gives Anna just a dead blank look, and you know he's thinking. He's
You know which blank look of Amos is it is, yeah.
It's like, this is a good person. I need to protect her. She's taught me things. All of that is
communicated. And I think he sees her in the way that he saw his like stepmother or whatever she was that he's mentioned before.
And Prax.
Prax was a bit different, though. I think it was like a little brother, Prax. I thought him and Prax, it was more of a little brother type thing, even though he was obviously, I would say he was older than
that's in there,
Well, with Prax, there was more of an exchange. It was more
an equality to the.
And you sort of know this kind of because of the Prax panels, like, he's not gonna start doing Anna sermons or whatever. Like,
I think Prax Prax was his first real friend.
All the way through series four, he stops. Like, there's like a nearly 10 minutes on every episode where he stops to do a sermon and he calls them Voldemort voiceovers. Volodov voiceovers. That's what he calls them. Sorry, you know, it's like that end bit that Holden does in every episode of Series 4. Beloved of voiceovers.
Yeah, I think Prax, it's a very equal relationship. They learn from each other. And I think Prax is the first one where Amos realizes that it goes two ways. He's learning from them and they're learning from him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm very tired. I can only hold one thought in my head at the moment.
That's
okay. There's actually quite a lot of action in this show.
It is. This is quite a... Well, there's a lot of big set pieces, you know, and I'd forgotten, actually, when I watched... I mean, I've watched it about 3 or 4 times since the last episode we did, and I'd forgotten that they'd left... And there's a little... I've got a wee niggle. But I know how it gets resolved, but it still slightly niggles me. In fact, no, it still niggles me now that I think about it. Right, the Naomi, Kamina, and Jim are all in the main control room for the reactor, yeah? And they basically get chased out of there by Diogo. Right? So... The only safe way to shut down a nuclear reactor is to, what she says actually, is scram it.
Okay. So is that a Scottish word?
No, it's a nuclear physics thing.
It's an acronym.
Yeah, hang on, I'll look it up now because now. Scram.
Safely contain rod and material. That's an absolute guess.
There isn't an actual thing for it. Scram rods. They're called, I mean, it's... Yeah. It may have a backronym, but it doesn't have a...
Okay. Yeah. But I will say these are fusion reactors, not fission reactors, so it might be... You might be able to just... Yeah, if it's a fusion reactor, you just power it off. That should be okay.
Well, I mean, it depends.
Unless you lose containment of the plasma.
Well, they turn them off in the Ross and Ante, or are we talking? Is that different?
I don't think so.
Well,
yeah, they turn it off and on. They go quiet on the Ross and Ante.
Everybody else shuts those down as well. But the point is, they don't get interrupted. Now, the power cuts off throughout the ship because she overloads a breaker or whatever. So that's fine. We know why the ship goes dark, and then presumably emergency power comes on, or whatever it is that wants to get released. All the emergency lights come on all the ships and stuff.
Oh, I thought the station turned the reactors back on. I thought the station magically turned the reactors all back on.
Maybe. I'll go either way on that. However, the control room was no longer under their control. So. What made their actual reactor shut down instead of just the breakers flipping?
Did they initiate the shutdown? Was that done?
And then Diogo wouldn't have known enough to undo it, and then maybe go, I can go with that. Yeah. It's, like I say, it wasn't a It wasn't a full-on annoyance. It was just a bit of a niggle. It was like,
I can see it. Yeah. And also, I find it odd to have a lift shaft connecting that straight, like place straight with the bridge. That was a bit weird.
Yeah, the structure of the ship is weird.
Actually, though, don't they have elevator shafts?
No. It doesn't connect it directly. They have to. They go out of an airlock. They go out of an airlock and then go on the external external shaft.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm thinking about that, but it's like, no, that's not what happens. But that's my point, is that they go off to a completely different section. And then it's like, well, why didn't somebody else just go in and reset the reactor? Then again, they had buggered up one of the lift shafts, so that's the only reason, one of the pods, and which was presumably then blocking the channel or track or whatever you want to call it. So then again, you know, that's the only reason that Diogo with the suit was able to get there. Also, even though I've watched it a few times, I still, you know, the elevator bit, sort of the shaft bit, the elevator shaft, the lift shaft bit, fucking elevator. The bit in the shaft where they're being chased and they drop a couple of grenades down. I'm not quite sure. The bit where the other two get taken off, you know, like, you know, as Darth Vader and the two other TIE fighters pursuing them type thing. It's a Star Wars reference, you know. Anyway, they're all basically together. So how does Diogo get out of that?
I think he's a little bit higher up than the other two.
Because we've got a very narrow view,
very
do you think?
Out of range, yeah. But I also thought
he boosts to get out of the way.
That whole bit of like, person in Bobby's suit, presumably he's in Bobby's suit. That's what I like to, you know, crushed by elevator, a lift. Uppy downy machine. thought of a callback to when they were on Mao's yacht, where Bobby almost gets crushed by an elevator.
Just
a little, like, not necessarily a callback, but an echo.
Yeah, it's interesting as well that I was watching when he was walking next to Bobby as well. After you know this later on and you watch it again, I was watching to see how tall he was next to Bobby, and he looked about she was in like an armor thing, and he was a bit shorter, and I thought, yeah, if he's inside the suit, that would be just about okay. Yeah,
and it does look a bit big on him. I don't know whether that might just be in my head, but he seems taller.
The more you see him, the taller he actually seems once you see him. You know, you think of him as being skinnier and shorter, but that's maybe a sort of, you know, teenager-y thing, maybe, I don't know.
Bobby is quite tall.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
She's quite tall.
Yeah, she is tall, yeah.
Yeah.
But I noticed also, as well, that the other lady Marine in that is tall as well. Because she's like, right with the height with her. I'm surprised that they found so many tall people to be. But then again, maybe it's a Martian thing as well. Maybe they're casting it for, you know, the lower gravity or whatever. Ah, God knows. Makeup stuff insert here.
Why is Holden's monologue, why is he like naked on a beach?
So yeah, I think because he's a producer on the show, he's like, I think Holden should be naked for this, because, like, look at these muscles. Now, maybe it's a clause
in his contract. He's got to be naked in this many scenes.
Yeah.
I mean, is it, what beach is he on? Is he, like, he doesn't look like he's by the UN building, which is the only beach.
No, it's not an extension we've seen,
Is it another planet?
Yeah, possibly. That's how I took it to be like a new, fresh planet. And I like that.
He's decided to make a no clothes rule.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that the
he's on the beach. It fits.
Nudist solar system.
And I like that the investigator is standing on the
on
the water. Yeah,
so. I like that. Yeah,
fully clothed.
Yes, yeah.
With his hat and everything.
We didn't really mention it, but I did like, it's just not a big thing. But like when they're in the previous episode, when Holden and Miller are floating down to the station, I do like that. Just Miller's just standing there, like, it's cool. It's weird, and
it kind of gives away what they're doing in a sort of effects way as well, but in a kind of an amusing
way.
Anyway, what other things happen in this episode then that we want to talk about?
I've
actually covered all my notes. It's more really, it's more interesting, like, emotional reaction. That's what I want from Chris. Like, was it satisfying roundup? What do you think of what's happening? Yeah,
this was a really good end to a series, actually. It feels like a proper ending. It feels like if the series had been cancelled here, I'd be like, okay, cool. This is the story about how the universe was opened up. You know, like, it's good, yeah. Like
you want more, but you can live with this as an ending kind of thing.
Well, you're all, if it's done well, you're always going to want more.
Mm.
Right? It's very rare that it's going to be like, well, that's everything done.
especially with character involvement, you know, there's like...
You say that, but there was the Game of Thrones ending. It was very, very good.
What, means you didn't want any more?
Well, but yeah, no, I think it was a good ending. I liked that it there wasn't like an evil that was defeated, you know, like it sort of subverted that trope. It wasn't like, oh, we defeated the bad guy, let's all go home for a glass of lemonade. It was, we've resolved our internal conflict
for now.
Now the universe, yeah, for now, but the universe opens up.
I think that's something, because they're always dealing with bigger stuff, but it is it's what they're struggling against is the internal conflict for sure, and I like that. I think that's nice.
Yeah, and I think Ashford as a, I suppose, would you call him an antagonist?
No, he's in this episode. He is, but not more generally, I don't think.
Well, he was a good character because he definitely had motivations that you could understand, and yeah, he laid them out pretty well.
Good actor. Good actor to pull that character on.
David Strathairn, is it his name?
Yeah, he's great.
Does he wear so many carabiners? I mean, I guess that's a belter thing, right?
yeah.
Does he? Yeah, I suppose on the beam.
Slip-on got things when the gravity goes off and when you're working on stuff. But the only other thing I know him from is the Bourne film. The Bourne films are very enjoyable, and he's very good in those.
What's he in the Bourne films?
He's a baddie CIA boss, basically, or CIA.
It's been so long, man. I can't.
I enjoy those films.
They are films?
They are. They
are. I quite like them.
I mean, honestly, when I say those films, I'm only talking about really the first two.
Yeah, I don't even know if I've seen any, seen them beyond.
No point bothering.
Fair enough.
The third one's not the worst, but yeah.
Is the third one with Hawkeye?
No, that's like the fourth or fifth or sixth or something.
I think I've seen the three ones because the third one sort of has a broad resolution, right?
The third one has a Guardian journalist in it, like an explicit Guardian journalist.
I can't remember that.
It's yeah. The first two tell the story, but you don't need the rest.
Oh, maybe it's the first two that I've seen then. I'm curious as to whether or not the Naboo is particularly well equipped for these frontiers. In fact, oh my God. Okay, so coming back to the Mormons, what I said last time, was like, oh, maybe the Mormons are right. Actually, if the Mormons had shut off as they do, they would have missed the party.
They would, exactly. Like, exactly. I think, I think that's a bit sort of poetic.
You never know what's going to happen in the next series.
The thing is, the Mormons...
Sorry, I'm just dying.
Can now
you
build
do it quietly.
Smaller ships and and actually claim one of the habitable worlds.
They can give them one as a compensation.
And in fact, in many cases, like the human race as a whole actually sort of managed to answer the question that the Mormons were asking in the beginning.
Is this outfit boring?
Is that comedy any good?
Exactly. I mean, to be honest, in the context of that time, their outfits would probably be quite interesting, wouldn't they? They'd be like our equivalent of like Renaissance fair outfits, you know, like something old timey, or like pilgrims' outfits.
You all need Harry.
but yeah, Well, the Amish, yeah, yeah.
You mentioned the Amish a lot in this thing.
Well, they're often the people that you sort of juxtapose like technology to, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like, yeah. Because, you know, we know the guy that helps people get away from the Amish community. And he, like, not rehabilitates them, but, like, gives them an out. Do you know the guy?
I think I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm fascinated by the Amish, and I watch a lot of YouTube stuff about them.
Yeah, other than they're, like, it's the double-edged sword of their dogma. Like, on one side, you can think of them as being a lot more sustainable and a lot more of a society that's comprehensible to the size of its citizens, as Tracer Tong might say.
Mm.
But on the other hand, you've got, like, religious dogma, you've got inbreeding, you've got...
I don't think the Amish do that.
They not do the inbreeding.
I don't think so. I might be wrong, but not.
I mean, not like, I mean, small communities, right? So their genetic pool is going to be relatively.
This might be something else. I think they might trade around to make sure that doesn't happen. Okay. A lot of insular communities do. But yeah, I think you know, if it suits you, it's great. But if it doesn't, you're trapped, and that's not good.
Well, I think they give people an out if they want to leave.
Yeah, I think it's going to vary from family to family.
Although, it varies from family to family. I mean, yeah. In theory, they give you an out.
In theory, because social pressure and just, yeah.
And what else are you going to do? You've got no assets, you've got no support network, you've got...
Yeah, you're not even equipped for the modern world, kind of.
You can't...
Well, a lot of them do have, like, they have technology, they just have... They limit their use of it and stuff. Like, it's kind of like Hasidic Jews, and you know, there are various approaches, and they're not all just like super, super, super orthodox.
No, yeah, there are, and some of them can have money, which I would think of as being quite bad. Like,
they got to trade with the outside world. One of the YouTube things I was watching, it was just following various Amish people about, and asking them about their lives, and there was this couple. And they weren't super strict Amish, and they had smartphones. But the wife kept the husband's smartphone and vice versa, and they had to ask to use it, basically. Oh. So the wife had to ask the husband for permission to use it and vice versa. Yeah, they would get it for like, okay, here you go, 15 minutes kind of thing. Isn't it interesting?
Mm.
That is interesting. I
this is not a podcast about the Amish.
See, when you said that off hat, like immediate, I thought smartphones, are they real Amish then? but then thinking about it, it's like, actually, that's quite a good way to insulate yourself against smartphones creeping into every facet of your life.
Exactly. Yeah. Some of it seems like quite healthy. Yeah.
Because it's relatively common for some people to be like, to get pissy if you don't answer them within certain amounts of time. And it's like, well, you know, maybe it's good for us to like leave, you know, like, you know, I don't check my smartphone when we're doing our podcasts or anything like that, you know. I know you play Rocket League, but that's a bit different, isn't it?
What are you talking about?
That's right.
I don't play Rocket League. I just bat the ball around on my own. That's something I have my hands to do.
I do have a fidget toy, which can be quite nice, but that click clacks on the microphone.
Play with your other clacker bag.
My other clacker bag. Is that a Scottish word?
Your ball bag.
It must be then, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Oh, that is a Scottish word. Clacker bag.
Your clacker bag, yeah.
Oh my god, I've never heard that one. Is it like a tallywhacker?
Must be. Tallywhacker is a penis.
Oh.
You not heard that one?
I thought it was a bobby. A bobby.
A bobby. No, tallywhacker's not Scottish.
Oh, okay.
I've only heard it in American things.
No, I've never heard that ever.
I've only ever heard it once used in the wild.
I don't think I've heard it in the wild. I've only heard it in like TV and films.
Why have I never heard that?
I don't know.
Because it's
you're not watching. If you know, I'm sure it's either something like Animal House or something like that. It's
been a long time.
The only time I've heard it, believe it or not, was on Babe Station.
What is that?
No, I don't have a TV. I haven't had a TV for a long, long time. But I through meme-ness or whatever it's called, I at least I've heard of that. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, they like. Oh man, I don't like. Yeah, some of the ladies on there. I don't want to say this. This is a bit misogynistic, I think, but it's like. Yeah, some of the ladies on there were like a bit rough, weren't they? Like not in terms of how they look.
Well, let's be honest. If you're on like a cheap late night TV thing, you're probably a wannabe actress who thinks it's some sort of step in the right direction or something.
Is it just put up Google Babe Station? Oh. And I'm just getting.
You don't know what Babe Station is?
I genuinely don't.
I don't know the exact details either. No, because.
I just imagine
it was like sort of soft porn telly sort of thing.
Like, yeah, it's like sort of topless OnlyFans of its day. So there would be like usually between one and three women jiggling various parts of their bodies in a soft core way on TV on the like the really far down preview channels, and then people could ring in for like. £2 a minute or whatever.
Oh, that kind of thing.
And
okay,
talk to these women, but you were obviously like not talking to the women on the screen. You were talking to someone in a call center or something, and you were just having dirty chats.
See, we never had preview.
I mean, I never called into any of those numbers. That's just sort of generally how I know. Because, like, I mean, because the thing is, it's like it's going to come up on the bill, and it's like, and it's not going to be worth. It's going to be expensive as hell.
Yeah, that's true.
It was like £1, £2 a minute or something like that. What do you reckon it is now?
God knows. Well, don't they charge for? Isn't it all texts and stuff these days?
Yeah, I'm sure the
way that these things work. You know, when they're voting for reality shows and stuff, isn't that how they make their money?
Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah. I mean. I think they still exist, but I haven't got a fucking clue as to why.
Yeah, I've never called anything like that, and I've never known anybody who's called anything there, or known anybody else.
Isn't it usually like teenagers who run up a huge bill on their mum's phone bill or whatever?
It might be like teenagers who are a bit drunk on cider and do it for a laugh. I could see that happening, but other than that.
I think maybe back then times were a bit harder, you know.
Not that hard though.
No, you can still find.
You got to call like because it is like you say. You know, it's just somebody in a call center that you know.
Yeah, and what could they possibly say that would be like arousing enough? You know, if they're on a call center.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I like my big jiggly boobs for you.
But I don't think they mind. Aren't they all like? Isn't it the same as like you know? Factories where they make condoms and where it's like middle-aged women who just or older women even who are just laughing at everything, you know.
Yeah, probably. Like it's probably really the sad the people that ring in who were just like maybe like lonely old men.
Well,
in their
yeah,
80s
I mean it's got to be sad lonely people. I mean, you know, that's you know, you feel a bit bad for those people.
I feel a bit bad that they're paying £2 a minute. That's just
well, like, that's exploitation. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's an exploitation thing. Yeah. Isn't it? Anywho, we've barely mentioned The Expanse this episode, and that's pretty bad for a series finale.
It's
a lot of action though. It has to be said, there is a lot of action rather than
all the sort of revelatory stuff comes earlier, apart from what you know, all the gates opening. That's really the only new information we get.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only thing that changes.
It's very cool, but it's all just potential. Like, not even now. There's not a ton we can say about it. It's just like, oh, there's a bunch of planets to go through. That could be interesting.
Mm. Yeah,
it's somewhat interesting that we don't see Miller in the meat of this episode when he's talking to Holden.
Yeah, that is interesting. That actually, I wondered about that. Why did it? Was it because they were on camera and we were seeing it from everybody else's point of view? Because obviously he doesn't see Miller. He just has his brain manipulated to think he sees him. So it's not like it's a hologram or something.
I think they wanted us to see it from other people's perspectives.
To see how crazy it looks.
I did
quite like Drummer's, like, I don't know what you see in him. I still don't know what you see in him.
Yeah, that's funny. But they did it when Holden is talking to Miller. They do it like almost like 70s sitcom style when somebody's on the phone to somebody and they repeat everything.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah.
You're going to the supermarket to get what?
What does that mean? You know. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything hanging, but I don't think there is.
The thing that I'm a little bit curious about is a little bit more about the station. Like, I know the station is sort of, I guess, the hub of all of this network. Does it do anything more that we don't know? Does it send messages? Or...
Well, we don't know. That's the point, isn't it?
We don't know.
I mean, it's obviously some sort of computer mainframe-y thing as well as a weapon, possibly. And, you know, it's a bit vague, really.
I mean, that seems to be the thing that's controlling everything. The station is the bit that controls everything.
And it's not like, what it seems like is that the proto-molecule was discovered, started reacting and trying to find a way to make a ring, made the ring, and then people were able to get... So it's like all the rings got shut down somehow. And it was trying to reopen it. So
there is somebody who says, I think it's Miller in his monologue, saying like...
You mean Holden?
Yeah.
In the monologue.
Says something about, like, I can't remember the words, but something about the proto-molecule has been manipulating events and like maybe the whole of human history or something. He didn't say those words, but something, is there something that could be read as that, which does...
He does say how long has this been happening or whatever, how far back, something of those.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's funny you should mention that.
That's the 2001 sort of reference, isn't it?
You know how your theory about Julie Mao is... it feels to me like... She's the Miller for Miller.
Could
Julie Mao be manipulated? Because Miller sees Julie Mao even after. Oh,
no, absolutely. Yeah, no, that I think is the same phenomenon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel pretty. Because we know it's not Miller going mad. It's not Miller having a little psychosis or anything like that. That does seem to be real for him in the same way that he's real. But yeah, I think that's the same exact phenomenon. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same mechanism.
That's
kind of why maybe we should have explored that more actually if we weren't so knowledgeable about it. Maybe we would have. I think we didn't let Chris explore that enough actually because we had Drew's pet theory came into the chat quite early.
It did,
and it kind of shut that down. Where it'd been interesting to see what Chris thought, whether he thought he was gone mad or whatever. But we didn't really say much about that. Spoil sport.
I think you would have had to have poker faced a lot, to be honest.
It would be difficult. I can see why. No, I can genuinely see why Drew put that out on the table early on. Because
this is the first time I've really watched through with that theory solidly in my mind, and it does. There are a lot of things that do seem to sort of confirm it.
Yeah, the bird.
The bird. The hat. And you know, in this episode, you know, Holden literally saying, how long have you been manipulating us kind of thing, basically.
And also that he sees Julie Mao in a way that we don't see Julie Mao in the show.
Apart from in the flashback.
apart from the flashback.
Because you see Julie before any horrible things have happened in the flashback, you know.
But it does. Yeah. It does. So if humans were directed, created.
I'm not sure how he does say something like that. But I don't think he's meaning to go further back than from the point that they unearthed the proto molecule. I think is as far back as he's. Implying personally.
I personally lean further, but yeah, it's ambiguous.
Regardless
of how far back it is, so at this point, because are we a threat to the station, right? And we have to prove that we aren't. Is that the station testing us to see whether we can be diplomat. All your species can be trusted to go through.
No, I don't think it's as Star Trek-y as that. I think it's more that Miller is trying to, or the investigator, whatever's left of Miller plus everything else, is trying to. I think he's right. I think it's what Holden says is to him is right. I think he was trying to reestablish the link because it's implied that the investigator is not just investigating things at the earthly side of it, the human side of it. It implies that he's, it doesn't just imply, he actually outright says that he wants to know what happened to the. So it's kind of like he's the avatar of the computer that is the station. And the station wants to know what happened to everybody else. And
I agree with that.
And he's kind of wanting to, but he's kind of testing to see if these people are worthy of being let loose. Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah, maybe.
Presumably, the proton molecule is a thing they just fire out in all directions. It creates guides or uses life and resources it finds to build a gate so that whoever lives there can travel outwards. Right.
So maybe they all get tested. Is that what you're saying?
So I'm saying, yeah. Is this just because why wait to point to open all the gates?
Normally all the gates would be open though, wouldn't they? When it's normal, the gates are open. So they wouldn't test somebody.
Is that the case? I'm not sure that's the case.
I would say it is from the way they're talking about it.
Or maybe each gate has its own bubble, and then when you leave the gate, you enter out of another bubble.
So you think
bubble.
It's like an airlock and there's actually two sides to it rather than just one membrane?
But like more magical than that. So it's like...
I didn't mean literally.
Like a Stargate, you go through and you come out somewhere.
So proton molecule gets spread out to random places. Every time it builds a gate, another gate gets added to the wall. So when you travel, right, so the gate is created, but not only is the gate created, but the bubble inside is created with the station inside that's being created. Each gate has its own station, bubble, and then gate.
I didn't read it that way at all. I read the station as being a single thing.
Yeah, and then you go into the gate, you go into the bubble attached to the gate, and then you go to one of the other gates, and you go out of the gate, but you go out of the gate for the right. I don't think it does happen like that now that I say it out loud.
I do think each place where the proton molecule does this has its own station.
No, I see it as a centralized
because we don't know that this station was created, only the ring was created.
No.
I see your point. That's interesting, Hamish. I've always read it out.
I see the station
you
as
think
being.
It's one station.
Yeah, I see it as being the central core part that we call the station is the station, and then the bubble is like the terminus for everything, you know?
Each place where the proton molecule does this has its own station, but that's not how it works when. Yeah. So I think you're right. Okay. So
the station is Grand Central Station of the Universe.
Right.
But what is interesting? Okay, so does that mean that suddenly Earth is going to get an influx of immigrants as well as being spread out into a new gold rush? Like is
potentially all kinds of
that's a lot of traffic in what looks.
Although
like
no. Where are you getting that from?
No, because but it's a possibility.
Because if the proton molecule goes out...
But the point is this is all meant to have happened like millions of years ago and it all shut down because something happened.
But that's the species that that's the species that made the proton molecule.
Yeah, but
there could be other species that the proton molecule has gone out to make gates for, like us, like on the level of us.
They might have found something like us, yeah.
I think
the station can open gates to more places than that, and that is
Hamish having a breakdown.
Never mind.
I think the station's open 1300 places that we could inhabit. I think that's the point.
These
are for us. This is our selection, and it can open gates to other places as well.
I don't see that. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, why? So just by coincidence, the 1300 planets that it's given us gates to just happen to be ones that are suitable for us to inhabit or uninhabited.
Maybe it's just suitable for life.
That's possible. That's possible.
I tend to go in that direction. Well, because if life comes in a completely different form, even our solar system might have something suitable for different types of life.
Mm. Yeah. Some universes we might still have to wear a suit for, or possibly like just a mask over our mouth. Maybe we don't need full environmental protection.
No, I think 1300 habitable planets implies we can't just go down onto them and walk around.
I mean, it could be that the network could still expand out, but look, of course, with the protomolecule, right? If the protomolecule gets blasted in every random direction, it's going to be like millions of years between each new gate opening, right?
Mm.
If not tens of millions, hundreds of millions of years. And after a point,
why?
When it expands, because the protomolecule's got to like physically travel through all that space, right? So it's going to take a long time.
And wait for life to get to a point to be able to make use of it or whatever.
Presumably it's a physical molecule that's going close to the speed of light. So it's going to be so 1300 inhabitable universes is going to take millions of years to travel through.
Systems, not universe.
Systems. It's going to be traveling through, just vast distances. So,
I don't think these 1300 planets, systems, whatever, are all of the points that the protomolecule can get to. I think that's a selection for us. I think that's here's some for you, and I think it can put other gates up.
You're the god type person here, though, aren't you? So that's quite an interesting viewpoint.
No, that's not. I don't think that leans that way, does it?
Made for us, yes, it does.
Yeah,
it understands what we need to live, and it's giving. Oh, here's 1300 planets that would suit you. Yeah, it's not made the planets to suit us. It just made the gates.
No, I didn't think it made the planets. No, I didn't think you were saying that.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like scarcity isn't the issue here. It's like meeting alien life. We want to meet.
But scarcity
aliens.
Is the issue for humanity, though. That's the point.
Is it?
Yes.
Earth
is massively overpopulated, and they're fighting. I mean, they're literally fighting over the resources of the belt in the show. That's how it all starts.
And I mean, it literally opens with a little crawl about how resources are limited, and we have to go to the belt to get water and which I know not Ty. Yeah, Ty doesn't like, does he? He doesn't like the opening text.
No, he doesn't. No.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. It just seemed like there's a lot of resources out there. I just figured it was more political.
No, I mean,
it's political. Yeah,
it's political, but do you not realize how big even our solar system is, even with this powerful engines that they've got? Yeah, but they still have to get that stuff back as well. That's the point. And everything isn't in a straight line. I know we see the diagrams where the planets are lined up and the belts, like things are all over the place. So if you can get to another system where just past, I mean, I'm not. This isn't any information or anything, but say you go through the gate and it's in roughly the same place as in relation to our sun, then you'd be closer vaguely to the asteroid belt, and you could bring stuff from that asteroid belt to here if they had an asteroid belt. I mean, it might be planets, it might be whatever, moons or whatever. But the whole point of it is there's a scarcity in our, so that's why they're fighting over the belt. Because the belt, there's only so much water, there's only so many metals, there's only so much of each thing.
Mm.
And there's only so much surface area to grow food as well. You've got to feed all these people as well.
They're effectively post-scarcity, so they can have communism.
In theory, but humans, you know. Sorry, Chris. I'm quite tired as well, and I'm just like, how are you seeing this like this? I feel like I'm being nasty to you. Sorry.
It's okay. I just figured, like, what is the population? Do we know what the population of Earth is?
Yeah, we discussed this already. Yeah, that's
like 12 billion or something, or between like 12 and 20, somewhere in that ballpark. I think it's a lot, but
hang on.
We do know, you know, some seeing what Bobby saw when she
30 billion.
30 billion. A lot of them don't have enough stuff.
Yeah.
The more stuff will be good.
Ah, okay.
And well, also, as we say, that you know, the. Yeah, I mean, this seems to be the thing. This is why I got slightly irked earlier. Is like the whole point of habitable is Earth is still the only place in this, up until this ring opens up, Earth is the only place that's habitable.
Yeah, but we've evolved to habit Earth, whereas...
No, but what I'm saying is in terms of our solar system, no, ignoring that, just going by our solar system and the need for habitable space and everything, the need for resources, Earth is the only one with fresh liquid water in a plentiful supply. Earth is the only one with, you know, where you don't need to use a spacesuit to go out and mine something, you know, and where we can build things without having to build them in domes. You know, we can grow food on the land without having to have a dome or a special, you know, space station or whatever. You know, that's the point, is that's the only place still from the very start of this, and that's why Mars and Earth fight over things that affect the belt so much, because it's the belt's resources that they're bringing in the way to Mars and Earth. They're bringing extra water in the form of ice. They're bringing metals and things like that from the asteroids. You know, that's the frontier there. That is the frontier. Mm. Ganymede Station is where they grow a lot of food for the belt. You know, that's where the, and that's Belter's food that's being grown there mostly.
Okay. What was when Holden was saying, like, it doesn't care about us, like we're just like an ant's nest, that it just, like, you know, we don't care about every ant.
Yeah, you pave over it, so yeah.
Does that sort of mean that we're fundamentally a very small player in the universe, or are we the only ones?
Well, I mean, I think it just means that the people that built the ring system are just so much more advanced than us. That,
well, does that imply that...
Also, there's a computer that's in charge of it all. Technically, and some sort of computer, as far as we understand.
For me, there's competing narratives here in the show itself, because that implies that the gates aren't for us. The gates aren't for us. The gates are for the people who made the proton.
That's why I see it.
But...
But nobody's around to argue with it anymore. So the human protomolecule hive mind thing, whatever you want to call Miller's...
The thing that stands in contradiction to that is Holden's monologue at the end, where how long have you been manipulating us? Because if the ring is for them, he doesn't need us at all. Or the protomolecule people wouldn't... Normally,
well, there are no protomolecule people anymore, though. That's the point.
I know that. But this thing is operating as if there were. Like, it doesn't.
I think he's addressing Miller and the consciousness of the protomolecule that exists through Miller.
So the only reason
I don't think he's not addressing anything to do with the ring.
The only reason it's interested in us now is because it needs a ride to work out what's happening. Is that your...
Basically, yeah. I mean, that's...
Yeah. That's fair. Okay.
And what about someone to turn on the switch?
That was what he did.
That was the manipulation
that was talked about.
Normally a proto-alien would have done that or whatever, right?
Presumably, well.
Somebody with pseudo.
But the thing is, like, it kind of crept out of, you know, it kind of created this stalactite, stalagmite, you know, Adam to God kind of meeting thing. So it's like, does the interface evolve? Like, if it was like a race of giants.
As far as I'm concerned, it just seems to be resources it's collecting. It doesn't necessarily need life at all.
It would have been able to turn on. So the turning on was to access the archives.
That was what the turning on was the consciousness of the thing. Imagine it from a computery point of view, it's like they've sent out a probe, it's been programmed to do a certain thing. We're seeing it from a human point of view, and it's manipulating a human brain to make things happen. But I don't think we're essential to that. The versatility of the protomolecule means that it could do it in loads of other ways. And even after, when the I forgot which ship it is, but one of the ships gets hit by the pod, and they say, "Oh, I thought it would just, you know, it just manipulated organic light." And it's like, no, it can do anything, and that's the point. Is it just needs energy and physical resources. So that's all it needed.
Yeah, okay, I think you're right. I think I've missed that previously.
That ties in with the way that Holden sums things up in the end as well.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. I've been misreading that previously, I think, and thinking it was more...
Looking for
life and giving it a gate kind of thing.
No, that's the 2001 thing, I think, is It's almost just a red herring. It's to make us think that we're more important than we are.
Yeah.
We happen to uncover the proto molecule. That's it, as far as I'm concerned.
That makes sense.
It might have crashed somewhere and got covered up. Instead of getting to, you know, doing what it normally does, and because it crashed far out on one of the Jovian moons or something, I can't remember now. I think it's Phoebe. Yeah. Then it didn't get as much energy as it could have, or over time the radiation from Jupiter would have been maybe it was getting activated by prolonged exposure to the radiation from Jupiter, and that's how they discovered
it. Chris says it could be operating on a very, very long time scale and being okay with that.
Yeah, it doesn't care really. Yeah, but I don't think life is essential to it in any way.
I think it's literally
a resource collection and a sort of computery. It's like a probe, and the station is like the sort of server that it comes back to. That's how I see it. Yeah.
Okay. Turns out we did have more to talk about.
Yeah, quite a bit actually.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, we're going to take a break for not for
three
long.
Episodes.
Yeah, we're going
a
to
three,
do
a three-episode Human Centipede special.
For some reason,
is this Chris's doing?
This is Chris's thing.
I'm sorry.
I mean, we don't mark these as not safe for work.
I'm going to look forward to the pictures Chris is going to be putting up in the background.
Yeah, yeah. I'm wondering where we're going to go with that.
It is very not safe. Like, it's not safe for...
It's not safe for anything.
Not safe for brains.
Yeah. So...
Not for human consumption.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I've got to watch it again!
I've got to watch it.
Oh. Yeah, you've done a lot there, Chris, with that one.
The first one.
When Human Centipede came out and everybody was talking about it, because everybody was talking about it, I knew I didn't want to watch it, but I went and read about it on Wikipedia. So I got the gist of it. But I've never seen it. I think I've seen a little clip from it, and I was like, aye.
So anyway, if you have an opinion about
hang on a minute,
The Ring, what?
Oh, yeah. So we have opinions from the last episode.
Oh,
Pennyweather.
The opinions.
It's the episode before the last.
Mm-hmm.
Pennyweather says, "I'd recommend skipping One Piece. It's over 1,000 episodes and not all that engaging. Probably fine for teens, but there are a lot of tropes that older audiences may find tiresome. A lot of good anime is either a standalone 12, 24, or sometimes 48 episodes tops."
So I trust Pennyweather's opinion because they like Scarmond.
Also, I'm not going to watch one episode of it, so it doesn't matter to me either.
No.
I trust your opinion.
Thank you, Pennyweather.
Thank you for commenting on the things we were talking about.
I did the young person thing.
What, that?
Yeah, I did. Well, most of my hands were in shadow, so it didn't really look right, but yeah. The fancy one.
Is that Jen Alpha?
Oh God, here we go again.
I think it's a K-pop. I think this is a K-pop thing originally. I think
sounds a bit.
I like this though. That's neat. Like, that's cute.
Oh, is it your finger and thumb?
Yeah, finger and thumb.
Oh,
yeah.
I can do that. I can't cross my fingers anymore.
I can't cross my fingers.
I used to be able to. I don't know when it stopped happening.
Old man joints.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know when I stopped crossing my fingers. Really,
I could do
just when I stopped being superstitious. I suppose when I was like 12.
New West Side.
Is that it?
You got to cross the middle two over.
No, it's not going to happen. I mean, I can do
Star Trek. That does look like a W, doesn't it?
Yeah. W, yeah.
No, I can't do that. I mean, I can do Chris. You know, I can do that, and I can do the Mork from Ork, Nanu Nanu.
Fucking Robin Williams.
Oh my goodness. Right, anyway, before we...
He's like the DeGraff of real life.
Okay, you don't like him. Jesus. Well, he's dead, so you must be happy about that.
Not happy he's dead, I'm happy he's gone.
Fair enough.
He was a very sad man.
If you have opinions about what we were talking about,
Robin Williams,
if you want that as well, if you have opinions about The Ring, and without knowing anything about the rest of the show, obviously, because I almost said some words there that would be, fairly illogical.
Yeah,
but if you have any,
I just had a thought. And I don't know if I should say this on the air, but fuck it.
Yeah, say it.
It might be worth one of you two reading any email that comes through the feedback before me, just in case there's a spoiler.
No, we've asked them not to spoiler, though, several times. We have said
that. That is a good point.
But we have pointed it out. Please don't spoiler anything. Yeah, but if you do want to, you can feedback all three of us without spoilers. Don't be a prick from there. Whatever it is, and we'll all see that.
I've got a serious thing that I do have to say about the Human Centipede. If anyone's planning on following along,
wait a minute. Can we get this bit first?
I got to say this while I still remember because it's very important.
Go on.
Just take into account which version of the show you watch, or all three. Right, there are unrated versions and there are like versions that you can find on Amazon Prime that are like suitable for public audiences, right? Just know which one you're watching, because if you watch like the pirated version or the unrated version, or the version that's not suitable for TV, there's shit in it that is real fucking bad.
Also, speaking of like gifts for your niece, maybe a box set to go with the glue gun.
There is no age of appropriate age for these films. I just wanted to get that out there. Just like be conscious of whether or not you're watching, you know. And I'll try and remember to say this at the beginning of...
Watch the unrated ones. That's what we're going to be watching, unfortunately.
Maybe, but then you could watch the Amazon Prime ones and we could... And if you hear something...
I'm not watching every film three times or whatever. Just for the versions. I mean, it's...
No, just...
I'm going to be watching it like this, I think.
God. The first one's boring. We're not expecting much out of the first one, but the first one sets up the other two, which are interesting.
According to Chris.
Interesting.
So, before we take a break from The Expanse...
I don't know. No,
I can still do that.
Oh, good. Yeah, that is... Yeah.
So if you've got any theories about anything we've talked, so basically, while we're stopping here, if you know anything about the books or anything beyond this point on the TV show, obviously don't bring that into it. But if you have any opinions about any of the big subjects that we've brought up all the way through series 1, 2, and 3 of The Expanse, then feel free to chip in, because we're not experts in any way, shape, or form about anything, really. The Expanse, TV shows, science, weird medical experiments, none of that. We're not really so we're happy to hear everybody else's opinions on these things. So you can send to the address at the top. You can get us on social media if you know us already on social media. There's links, places. You'll find it all if you look around. Mm-hmm. And there's also the comments below, as always, which we do get as well. We can all see those when we look at the videos.
And if you're wealthy, donate to the Polar Bear Extended Universe.
Ko-fi. I mean, there'll be links in the... isn't there like a little support button in PeerTube?
There is in PeerTube, and yeah, there is a little thing. Thank you.
Video thepolarbear.co.uk.
Yeah, that's it. I was just make sure I was thinking...
No, I missed the dot.
I couldn't work out what was right about that, what was wrong about it myself. I had to say it. Let's think it through.
Yeah. like nowadays, if I'm sharing content I make, I just direct people to video.thepolarbear.co.uk and say, look, you can watch my ones.
It's on there also, somewhere.
Yeah, you'll find everything there.
Yeah.
And YouTube is gonna have enforced ads soon, like the bypass ad blockers. So I'm gonna migrate 100% to PeerTube. I think like fuck. As soon as there's ads that I can't skip or can't delete entirely, I'm done.
Yeah. I don't know if it's worth paying YouTube Premium because I watch a lot of YouTube.
I do currently, but I'm not fucking paying. I'm not paying them. I'm not paying that company.
No.
They're cunts.
They make money. They make so much money out of everything else. They don't need to charge for their actual services.
I think YouTube is an amazing
Google
human resource.
Google that one.
And it should be nationalized, basically. And PeerTube is. You know,
if it was cheaper, I would totally.
Don't put a value on it. A penny a month would still be too much.
Yeah.
For something like that, because they are making so much money out of that. That's going to be dwarfed by anything they actually charge.
And
it's
not
just a way for
anything.
Them to make more money.
It's other people making the
stuff.
Exactly.
They're
not making anything.
So,
Netflix, like, I don't love Netflix. If you want to subscribe to Netflix, they make stuff. They produce, you know, they invest in things they produce. They're also rentiers and that, but at least they're fucking making something, whereas YouTube, they're just sitting on the
Well, there's revenue sharing on YouTube.
Sure.
Yeah, but they're not making anything. They're not doing anything to make that money. Other than providing, you know, it's you know, and you say, well, they're providing the service. So what you're saying is they're rich enough to set up a server, so therefore they should make more money. It's the slippery slope of capitalism. That's, you know, that thinking. It's the way they want us to think.
And ultimately,
because you get people that will say that, say, well, you know, they're providing all the servers and everything. It's like, you know, but if you think their input to this is having enough money to start off the thing is the most that is.
And if they do enforce ads and you pay for it and maybe they limit it to only paid, how long before the paid accounts start showing ads? Like, as soon as they've got
it,
you...
It's
like,
already happened like that in other services.
You know, more money.
Isn't it
Netflix have ads?
Yeah, I think there's like tiers of it now. So you pay...
If I made the laws, I would say you can't put ads on something you pay for. That would just be a rule. Ads or pay charge.
But,
you know,
my point is, it's a slippery slope in multiple ways. As soon as there's an ad that I can't block, I'm done with YouTube. I'll spend a day downloading all the stuff I watch regularly, and then I'm done with YouTube, and it'll be all PeerTube. And I'll be missing out on a lot of stuff because, you know, there's less stuff on PeerTube, but more people who use PeerTube, the more stuff there'll be on there.
And also, there's probably a lot more than you think.
Well, quite possibly.
Have a good look around PeerTube. Don't just go, oh, this instance isn't finding anything. Have a look at other instances. Have a look at the PeerTube's own websites. You know, they've got websites with that link to various things, and because it's not. I mean, I'm not having to go at PeerTube them. You know, the PeerTube programmers or devs or whatever, but it's not immediately apparent how to make stuff link from outside your own instance. That took me a while, and even then I'm still only like partly getting it. A lot of things still don't work the way I expect them to. And I, you know, you've only got so many hours in the day but I've done quite a lot with it.
The service thing is
more universal than it was to start with, and there's
I've been on a couple of PeerTube instances, and this is the best run. Like, it's, you know, you're doing...
Thank you.
So we're very, very grateful for it. Okay. And I was going to say something relatively insightful then, but you probably should just close the video at this point.
Oh no.
That's a good place to end.
Is it? I mean, I feel like it's not. No, I want to keep going for a minute.
We're still going. What was I going to say?
Actually, I got praise for my cutting you off the last time.
You did
at the right place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ghosty said
on our Discord.
On the Discord. You shouldn't join. Fuck the Discord. Don't join Discord. Don't encourage that shit.
I thought the thing. It's not insightful, but. Do you think we should try and connect with like Framasoft or something as like original PeerTube creators and just like,
how do you mean connect?
Can they offer us something? Can they give throw some money to us or something like that as a sponsor or
You mean the Polar Bear Extended Universe, yeah.
For the Polar Bear
I'm not overly comfortable with that, but, you know.
Yeah. Or just promotion. They could promote us as one of the... Yeah.
I think they do, to be honest. I think we get...
I'm pretty sure we've been side-mentioned a few
times. Yeah, definitely been mentioned with other... We've been mentioned, but there's a few Fedi... I don't want to say evangelist account, but there's a few Fedi promoting... Mm-hmm. accounts that work on different, you know, on like Mastodon servers or whatever. That
what they should do is, what, regardless of what instance of PeerTube you're on, the bit of that episode where we spend 30 minutes talking about fleshlights should just be the first video that comes up, no matter what.
It makes me wonder about people that, I mean, again, comments, you know, for engagement farming is what they call this, isn't it? But
What? Why are you watching this?
First of all, what's wrong with you? No, but
sort your fucking life out.
Talk to your family. Your mum wants you to call her.
No, but I was going to say something. How do people first find it? You know, because so many people don't say, "Oh, I started watching from the start," and you know, because I'm into the Expanse. I've had a few like that. You know, definitely said, "Oh, I'm in the Expanse," but I also enjoy the silliness and all that. But I wonder what hooks somebody the first time when they just see a random episode.
I'd love to know what people like about it. I'd love to know what people don't like about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, by all means, do tell us more give more detailed answers.
Yeah.
Because
before all we burn all the bridges down with the human centipede.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't see how much further we can go towards possibly alienating anybody. Given some of the episodes' sidetracks, tangents.
This will be the trilogy that makes us a household name.